Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Your landlord serves you notice. You must move out. The reason is not totally clear. The apartment is nice, but not great. It's also affordable. Yet rumors are going around. The landlord wants to hike the rents. They hope to get rid of people, renovate, and then jack up the rent afterwards. What do you do? The Help and Legal Center of Northumberland is available to give you advice. They can educate you about the law. But even better, they can go with you to the tribunal to appeal. That's just one of a host of services the center offers. In this interview, Beth Belair, Chair of the Board of Directors, will go over a series of recommendations from a comprehensive report done over the past year for the center. One of the big suggestions is improving the public's knowledge of all the services it offers, plus a number of key things it can do to improve what it is already doing. Here is Beth Belair to explain. I'm so pleased to have with me today Beth Belair, the Chair of the Board for the Northumberland Help and Legal Center. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate you giving me the time to do this.
I understand you've undergone a full program evaluation. Can you tell us what you found as part of that process?
Yes. Well, we started this process actually back in March of 2020, we had a very generous grant from the Durham Community Foundation to do this work. We did it in three phases, actually. The first phase, we interviewed clients, close to 90 clients of the Help Center or the Legal Center. Second phase, we interviewed stakeholders, and again, we had a really good response from them, probably around, close to 60 stakeholders, people who we refer to or who refer to us. And also, we did interviews with staff and some focus groups and things, so that we got a really good feel for how our services were being perceived in the community and that. And overall, we were really, really happy with the results. Of course, there's always something that comes up that you think, okay, we could do better there, which is the whole purpose of it. So it's been a really great process, and it's taken us through to, we're just finishing it up now. So it's been a full year to get through it all.
Can you share with us some of the results that you found, some of the recommendations that came out of the report?
One of the things that we found, of course, was that, and part of the process of this, too, was to look at how the pandemic, how COVID has impacted our clients. So generally, I think it's something like 95% out of both agencies are extremely happy with our services. So that's really, that's very reassuring that what we're doing is meeting their needs. But they certainly did feel that the services had been impacted by COVID. And that's because, of course, during the lockdown periods, they were not able to just drop in to the centers. And so because they can't drop in, and that's the way most of our people like to contact us. For instance, you know, if you're looking at coming to the Help Center, most people preferred in-person, 50% wanted to just drop in to be able to talk to somebody, because that's the way our services have been offered. So this was a real adjustment for them. They'd come to the door and there would be a bell they could ding and somebody would come to answer, but it wasn't the same as coming in and being able to sit down and really have a good chat with somebody. So that's been a difficulty, and we're hoping we're coming to the end of that soon.
For people who may not be familiar with your services, can you just briefly describe what it is the Help and the Legal Center do?
Okay. But, well, the They do two pieces of work that both deal with those most vulnerable within our society, with people of low income. So one of the things that the Help Center does is offer the social kind of assistance that people might need in order to live a full and rewarding life. So we have programs for housing to help people find housing. We have a financial program, so we do budgeting with people because people on low income really need to stretch their dollars. So we do budgeting programs, and as part of that, we have a very big tax program on the Help Center side. I think so far we've done over 1,000 returns for people, and that has brought back more than $2 million into the community. So, and that money comes back into the community through tax credits, through child tax credits, and the Trillium funds for drugs, etc. So it's that tax program really helps identify a lot of people who maybe need help, then use our budgeting programs. We also on that side have programs for helping with paying their electricity bills or their heating bills, and so that they don't get those cut off, and that we can work out plans with the different deliverers on how they might be able to pay back what they're owe in a way that is really affordable to them. So we do a lot of work on the financial side. We also have, on the Help Center side, we still have another stream of programs, which is in literacy, because, of course, literacy is one of the main barriers to being able to be successful within our society. If you don't know how to read documents, if you don't know how to fill out forms, you are really at a disadvantage, and so many jobs require a lot more reading now than they ever used to. So we have both a program for people who have not made it through our education system, and they really need to improve their reading skills. And ours is at the one-to-one tutoring level, so the very beginning level before they're able to manage a classroom setting. And we also have an ESL program that has really grown within the last 5-10 years and serves a lot of the new immigrants to the area. It goes hand-in-hand with the LINK program that is done by colleges. I'm sure you're probably familiar with that program. But our program actually really focuses on the cultural side of it and making people feel comfortable within this new society that they're in. So that's kind of a lot of the programs that are on the Help Center side. Oh, I forgot, we also have a seniors program, which helps with individual seniors who are maybe isolated at home. And, you know, all of these programs kind of relate together, because somebody might, a senior might come in because they're having trouble making ends meet, and we find out that they're having trouble in other areas as well, and maybe they're also having trouble with a landlord, and so then they get referred over to the legal center side, which deals with those legal issues. So the legal center deals with issues that the clients need help with, Landlord and Tenant Act, Ontario Works or Ontario Disability Payments, and a lot of employment services, things to do with workers' compensation. And recently we've been doing a lot of work with people from Alderville, with helping them get registered for the residential schools class actions or the Indian Day Schools class actions that we're running. And we've done 166 files over the last couple of years on the legal center side, helping people make sure that they're able to tell their stories fully and be registered for those class action suits. So, you know, it's a broad range of programming that we have. And because of that, I think, you know, a lot of clients are really happy to refer to us. They'll tell their friends about us. I mean, that's word of mouth is the main way people find out about our programs. And many stakeholders as well say, you know, our programs are unique within the county. So we're really, really proud of that as well.
I'd like to just go back for a moment. And first of all, you mentioned you brought $2 million into the community through your tax assistance program, income tax assistance program. That was, over what period of time is that?
That's over the year. Okay, so, we do the income tax returns all year long, but of course, like most places, we're really busy in the spring with that, and pretty much all staff are hands on deck to look after the incoming income tax returns for people. So that covers, GST, Trillium, child tax credits, climate action incentives, all of these credits are available to people, but only if they filed. So if they haven't filed, they don't get these tax credits. And so it's really important for people to be able to file. And of course, since we do it as a charitable organization, we're not taking a cut of their return. They get the full amount back. And that full amount then gets spent within the community, as you can imagine. It's not being spent on trips abroad or anything. It's being spent right here in Northumberland County.
Some of the programs you mentioned in your synopsis were things like housing and other things. There's other agencies within the community that provide these kinds of services. What makes you unique in terms of the services that you provide so that people understand that maybe it's not quite the same as what's going on elsewhere and things aren't being duplicated?
And that's a really good question. And housing is an area that, of course, is always changing, and there often are new players on the block for that one. But we are involved in the Affordable Housing Committee, which has all of the different organizations within Northumberland that are offering programs who sit around that table. And we, through that program, we're able to help people in finding landlords who are willing to work with them. We have a landlord liaison program, which is the only one in the county, and that program allows us to work with the landlords to help them understand some of the extra needs or concerns of our clients, and they work with us to help the clients have a good tenancy at their building. So it's really a program for both the tenants, and we teach the tenants how to be a good tenant, all the rules of the tenancy, of what you can and you cannot do. And so they're aware of their rights, but also of their responsibilities. And we also have programs like that for the on the landlord side, so that they know what they can and can't do. And this really helps to make a much more positive relationship between the landlord and the tenant. And that is, you know, completely unique within the programming that we do.
I've done interviews in the past with people from the legal center, and they do a lot of work around evictions.
Yes, and that's a really good question, because, you know, as we've been going through the pandemic, there's been a freeze on evictions. That means that the sheriff or whoever can't come and actually put the padlock on your door and evict you. However, the process still goes ahead through the courts, so landlords can still apply to have a tenant evicted and go through that whole process, and then the eviction notice is just sitting there waiting to be put into force once that freeze is lifted. So, you know, we anticipate having a huge influx of people coming in because they've received these eviction notices, and it's, you know, almost in a sense out of the blue because they've kind of forgotten about the process being in place. So we represent people at the landlord and tenant tribunal and help them put forward their case to the tribunal adjudicators on, you know, why they should be considered and why the landlord's request is not valid. So we do a lot of that kind of representation. That's one of the major types of work that we do on the legal center side, is that kind of representation.
Now that we better understand what the Help and Legal Center do, can we now go back to the recommendations? And you had started to talk about the first one. Can you move on from there and tell us what some of the other recommendations are?
Sure. One of the things that we have generally in non-COVID times is we have satellite offices around the county. So the health center and the legal center will both go and offer their programming on a regular basis from sites in Campbellford, in Brighton, in Port Hope, and various other communities, Colborne, around Northumberland County. We found that that really wasn't well known by our clientele or even by the stakeholders that those were there. And so one of the things that came out of that is that we, you know, a recommendation is we really need to improve our communications of the not only the services that we offer, but the ways our services can be offered. So that is something that we certainly are working on is, you know, a recommendation to improve our communications to clients, to stakeholders, to the general public on the kind of work that we do and how to access our services. We asked clients whether or not, and stakeholders, whether or not there were new programming, other programming that might be needed, because one of the things we really pride ourselves on doing is trying to recognize gaps within the community where there is a need. And they did not come up with anything where they felt that we needed to add new programming. So that was very good news that they felt that what we were offering now was all relevant and meeting their needs. So we were happy with that, for sure.
There has been in the past a pattern of cuts to funding faced by your organization. Can you tell me about this and what is your current status regarding funding?
Well, right now, on the Help Center side, our funding is at a really positive level. The United Way has been our supporter, as you know, almost from our beginning days back 40 years ago. And they continue to be really an organization that we can rely upon to support us. They see the value of our programming, and because of that, they are tremendous supporters of us. We also, right now, have a really great working relationship with the county, and as I have mentioned, we have a landlord liaison program that we do, and that is funded through the county. Some of our housing programming is as well, and we've got some funding from them to help us with the ESL programming that we're doing, and a variety of other things that they have helped us with, and so that, you know, that funding seems to be fairly stable as well. But again, it's only as stable as the government is and or government changes. And as they change, sometimes programming changes and the county, you know, just doesn't have the same funding for programs as it used to. So we're always looking for new funding sources. And that's something that our executive directors are always tasked with, is finding new resources for us. On the health, on the legal center side, our main funder there has been Legal Aid Ontario, which is through the Ministry of the Attorney General of the Government of Ontario. That agency has seen cuts over the last little while from this the recent Progressive Conservative government, and those cuts have we've been protected from them. Rural clinics to a certain extent, and we have to say thank you to Legal Aid Ontario for that, trying to protect us from many cuts because we run our programs very frugally right now, and you know, if we had large cuts to our income there, it would mean a reduction in staffing because there's nowhere else for us to cut. And so far we've been able to avoid that. But there's no guarantee right now that more cuts are not coming in the near future. So, you know, we are always kind of waiting to see how that works out. And again, our executive director on that side has been, Lois has been really doing a lot of work in finding new funding, other sources of funding for the agency to make sure that we can keep the staff that we have and the programming that we have. So looking to the federal government for funding, where she's been successful getting funding through HRDC at times, and other sources of funding to, you know, help us. So it's always an ongoing struggle, for sure. And that would be common to all charitable organizations.
How much is your budget?
The budget is around $1 million a year between the two agencies.
As you are emerging from the pandemic, what lessons have you learned that you'll apply to the future?
Well, as I say, we have to get better at our communication. We have to recognize that our clients do not have the technology or the comfort levels with technology to be able to go online with their interactions with us. So as much as we can go online with our stakeholders and others, we have to be there by person on the phone for our clients, because that is the way they are most comfortable with receiving services from us. And so we have to be able to help them bridge that gap between what they're able to do because of, you know, limited Wi-Fi, limited technology within their own homes, and being able to interface with the, you know, the organizations that they need to, that are going more and more online with their services. So we see that as something where we really have to kind of balance it, you know, and allow them to be able to come into our offices once we can open up again, to be able to use our technology in order to meet their needs. So that's something that we are working on as well.
What's next in terms of the study and the recommendations going forward?
Well, we continue to look at this through our board of directors, which is a really active board. We have various different committees that are taking some of these pieces and studying them more in-depthly. So, for instance, we have tasked a space committee to look at our footprint and how we could maybe use it better, and so they're working hard at that right now. We have a program committee that is looking at the programming and how it can perhaps we can change the way the programming is assessed or accessed by our clients. And we also have a fundraising and marketing committee that is looking at the recommendations coming out about increased awareness of our programs and improving our marketing. So those are three of the main things that we're working on right now. One of the things that we are really proud of is the fact that, you know, we're the only organization, I think, in Northumberland County that's serving our communities, most vulnerable residents, by dealing with both the social and the legal issues, and I think that's the strength of us. And we've been doing this, you know, giving a voice to the voiceless for 40 years now in the community. We try to empower people, so we try to help them learn how to make decisions and advocate for themselves, but we give them the strength of being there at their backs to support them as they do that. You know, we help people from simple tasks like filling out forms to them representing them in court cases. So we really try to connect people with other programs and services in the community. We really try to make sure that we're not duplicating services, but we always are looking to see if there are gaps in services and that come forward as, you know, things change. And we do this, you know, because we believe in the people that we serve, and that by raising our clients up, we will enrich the whole community. So we're really proud of the work we do, and all of this is done at no cost to our clients. So I think it's a unique service in Northumberland County, and I'm really proud to be their chair of the board.
Thank you so much, Beth Belair.
Thank you.
That was my interview with Beth Belair, chairperson of the Help and Legal Center of Northumberland. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.